Super excited today. How many guys have Facebook? How many guys read my Facebook post yesterday or the church Facebook post? We have a special gift to give everyone today. Let me say this, that you know, one of the things I love about our church is we really have a leadership that loves and wants to invest back in our people. They just have an enormous desire to invest in you. So I am so thankful for that. And so this is what we're doing. We are investing in you today. We're constantly looking for ways to make you successful in life. We want you to be successful Christians. We're not looking for you just to be Christians. We want you to be successful Christians. How many of you guys want to be successful Christians? A couple, like four. Awesome. I love for all of you to be successful Christians today. And so we want to offer you a free gift. And that gift is in the form of this card that should have been on every one of your seats. What this card is, it's an invitation to what's called Right Now Media. Now, if you're wondering what Right Now Media is, Right Now Media is kind of like the Netflix, the streaming service of Netflix of Christian discipleship. And it is a powerful, powerful resource. Right now, online on this channel is about 20,000 discipleship videos for you to go through with some of the most incredible, incredible teachers. Now, if you were to buy one of these video series yourself, they would cost you $50, $100, $150 a piece on average. But they are for you today. They have great resources on there, resources talking about God, resources working with your children, resources about marriage, about finances, resources, you know, whatever you can think about. They have all of these amazing best practices for you. And so this is what we've done. We have partnered with Right Now Media to give you this free resource. I dropped my card. Oh, well, I'll pick it up. This free resource. And so at noon today, this is what's going to happen. Everyone in here is going to receive an email with an invite, with a personal invite to create your own personal account to Right Now Media. If you don't get an email, it's because we don't have your email. And so the solution to that is on the bottom of this card, there's a little email address, info@hilltopaog.org. If you'll email us in the subject line, Right Now Media, we will send you out a personal invite. Like I said, it is a streaming resource, so it works on your computer. It works on your smartphone or on a tablet. If you have a smart device like a Roku or a Fire Stick or an Apple TV, or if you have a smart TV, you can download the apps there. But it is a great, great resource. So let's say this. Let's say you need help working with your finances. There are 200 different videos helping you work through your finances, right? You want to learn how to manage your finances in a godly way. That information there. Let's say you want to work on your marriage. How many of you know we should always be working on our marriage, right? Right. This should be a constant thing, right? We don't get married once and then say, okay, we finished, right? Right. We try to always, 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 my wife and I, work on our marriage, whether that be read a book together or watch a video or go to a conference. We want our marriage to constantly be strong. And so there's resources there for marriages. Let's say your thing is, well, I want to know how to share my faith with somebody. Well, there's many, many resources on there on how to share your faith, how to witness people, how to, what they call apologetics, how to defend your faith. Let's say you're really into history and you want to know, hey, you know, how was the Bible written? What is it all about? There's many, many resources on there just to learn about the Bible. Or if you want to learn about church history, whatever it is. One thing that's great on here is there is a kids resource on here that is tremendous. There are many, many, many Christian, godly cartoon videos for your kids. Whether you like VeggieTales or anything along in that line, there are many videos about that. And here's the best part about it, is that if you watch one of these videos, many of these videos come with resources so that you can actually use those videos as a family devotional together. And so you open up, let's say Phil Vischer has videos on there. Phil Vischer is the writer, the creator of VeggieTales, and he has done personal videos just for Right Now Media. And so there are cartoons in the VeggieTales format where you learn about scriptures, and then there's a family devotional that you can download that you can print out and work through your kids with. And there's many resources like that. There are let's say you want to have a small group. There are small group Bible studies with all kinds of great, great, powerful teachers. Preachers and teachers that you would know, guys like John Maxwell and Frank Francis Chan and Matt Chandler and John Bevere and you name it, if they do a video teaching, it is probably on there or probably will be on there very soon. So it is just a tremendous, tremendous resource. Now, here's the deal. Like we said, it's the Netflix of discipleship, right? It's the Christian Netflix, if you will. Now, Netflix costs us about $13 a month now, right? How many of you guys have Netflix? Right, about $13 a month. How many of you guys have Amazon Prime? It's $120 a year. Right? How many of you guys, Hulu costs $6 a month? I know that I have all three of those. Right? And like I told the board, I'm going to ready to sign up for Disney Plus for another $13 a month because that's who our family is. Right? We get the streaming services and not so much with the cable TV, but that's who we are. So all that costs money, and believe it or not, this costs money too. But here's the greatest part, is it costs us something, but it costs you nothing. It is a free resource for you, and not just for a one-month trial or one-year trial. It is a free resource to you for the rest of your life, or until we stop paying the subscription. Oh, you want to raise your hand? Oh, yeah. So we're going to start charging you $15 a month is what Debbie says. Just kidding. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. But it is just a powerful, powerful resource. We're going to be sharing it over the next couple of weeks. But like I said, today you should get an email at noon. If you don't get emails, because we don't have your email. So email us, and we will send you out an invitation as soon as we get that, or as soon as we can. And you guys can be a part of it. Check it out. Like I said, if you have young kids, it is a tremendous resource for that. No matter what stage you are at in your faith, if you're a beginning Christian just trying to figure things out and you want to know more about the Bible or have Bible studies, there's stuff there. If you are a very seasoned Christian and you really want to go in depth in a subject, there is information there for you. There's resources there for you. It is just tremendous. I can't promote it enough. It is going to be life-changing if you take advantage of it. God can do, there's things on there that we would never be able to disciple you through personally at this church. We just don't have the resources. We are not equipped to do it. But through this, through our partnership right now, we can resource you. We can equip you. So it is very, very powerful. Please take advantage of it. Don't delay. If you have friends, let me tell you, it is free for anybody. You don't have to just be a member of the church. It is free for anybody who comes in. If you come in one time and you grab a card and you send an email, it's free for you for life. If you have friends who go to another church, but you say, man, this is a great resource, you should take advantage of it, email us. We will send them out a free invitation. It's free for them for life. We want to resource people, right? Our job, yes, we want to build a church, but our real job is we want to build people's faith in Christ. And so we don't care if you come to this church or not. We want you to grow in your faith. Amen? So I'm super excited about that. And I'm super excited about the Word of God this morning. How many of you guys are ready for the Word? I have. The Lord has been stirring my heart lately. We're going to be doing a series through the book of Malachi. How many of you guys ever heard the book of Malachi? Or as John calls them, the Italian prophet Malachi? Right? Malachi, the Italian prophet, Malachi. Malachi. We're going to start a series, and we're calling it Bring Back Honor. If you need to know where Malachi is, all you got to do is turn to Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, and then flip back one page. Malachi is the last book written or put down in the Old Testament. Malachi is written 100 years after the Jewish exiles returned from Babylonian captivity. And the Jewish exiles, they have been back in Jerusalem for 100 years. They have restored their worship with God there. They have rebuilt the temple. And at this point, Nehemiah, he is there in Jerusalem, and he is working hard to rebuild the wall. And that's where the book of Malachi takes place. But you have to understand this, that all is not well in Jerusalem at this point in our story. See, because at this point, the people's hearts had grown cold towards the things of God. You see, they worship God with their lips, but they didn't worship Him with their hearts. They worshiped Him with their lips, but their hearts were very far from them. Their service had become just a superficial routine, right? They're just fulfilling some amount of duty in their life, and yet their real lives or their real attitudes were that they had become apathetic, that they had become indifferent towards God. In other words, they were half-heartedly serving God. instead of giving him their very, very best. Now, the name Malachi means my messenger. Malachi's message that God gives him is not only for an ancient people, it is a message for us today. It is a word for us today. Because so very easily, we can fall into that same spiritual malaise as those folks 2,500 years ago. Now, one of the major themes of Malachi is this. One of the major themes is honor. The honor of God means this. It means to revere God. It means to value God. It means to prioritize God in your life. Right? It means that our chief ambition in life is to please Him and to bring Him glory. See, the Jews, while honoring God with their lips, they no longer honored Him with their lives. They worshiped Him. Their worship to Him was a farce. Their attitudes were sinful. They were disobedient in their giving. Their marriages were in shambles. And their hearts were so far from God. See, God longed to bless the people of Jerusalem during Malachi's day. And so Malachi calls them to repentance. See, but history tells us that they did not repent. And because of that, God was silent for 400 years. For 400 years, the people heard not one peep from God. For 400 years, not one sound from heaven. For 400 years, not one prophetic voice came forth. And it's a warning to us. It's a warning for us to look at the signs in our own life. It's a warning for us to look at the signs in our own church. To really look at it and understand and try to figure out if they are present in our church also. So in this series, we're going to talk about bringing honor back to where it belongs. Where does honor belong? Honor belongs to God. We want to bring honor back to God. Amen? So what I want to do in this series today, we're going to kick it off by talking about bringing honor back through our worship. Honoring God through our worship. So if you have your Bibles, Malachi chapter 1. If you didn't bring your Bibles, it should be up on the screen behind us. But it says this, Malachi chapter 1, verse 1. It says, a prophecy, the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. And the Lord says, I have loved you, but you ask, how have you loved us? And the Lord declares, was not Esau Jacob's brother? And yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. And I have turned his hill country into a wasteland and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. And Edom may say, though we have been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. But this is what the Lord Almighty says. They may build, but I will demolish. They will be called the wicked land, a people always under the wrath of the Lord. And you will see it with your own eyes and say, great is the Lord even beyond the borders of Israel. The Lord says, a son honors his father, and a slave his master. But if I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? So it is you, priests, who have shown contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? The Lord says, by offering defiled foods at my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. He says, when you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame and diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? Now, plead with God to be gracious to us, for with such offerings from your hands, will he accept you? Oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. He says, I am not pleased with you, and I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations, from where the sun rises to where it sets. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying, the Lord's table is defiled, and its food is contemptible. And you say, what a burden. And you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. says, when you bring the injured, the lame, and the diseased animals and offer them as a sacrifice, should I accept them from your hands? He says this final word, cursed is the cheat who has accepted, who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great God, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Can we pray for the word this morning? Father, we love you. God, I thank you for your word, God. It is a lamp to our feet, it is a light to our path. God, it changes us, it challenges us, it directs us, it calls us to repentance. Father, stir our hearts this morning, God, that we may know the truth and the truth may set us free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we're beginning our series today, we're talking about honoring God with our worship. And there's a very important false assumption that we just have to make sure that we're all clear about regarding worship. You see, we tend to think worship is merely the singing, that it has to do with our part of the church service when the band's up here singing and we're singing along with them and we're praising God together. But listen, that is a very myopic view of worship. Why? Because worship is much more than just singing. It's much more than just raising our hands or clapping our hands. Right in Matthew chapter 2, when the wise men from the east, they follow the star to worship and to praise a baby infant Jesus. And when they arrive, they come not only singing, but they come bearing gifts for him. You see, they gave him not only their praise, but they gave him their time and their energy and their effort and their resources and their gifts. In other words, they offered their entire lives before him. See, worship is about offering the totality of our lives to a living God. See, God's controversy with his people was that they offered him their praise, but they did not offer him their lives. There's a big difference there. See, but God wanted to be honored, not just with their lips, but with their lives. Right, he wants us to honor him, not just with our lips, but with our entire lives. So the question is this, are we guilty of doing the same exact thing? See, because God is worthy of our worship, and he is worthy of our honor. Let me tell you why. First of all, it's because he is worthy of honor because of his great love for us. He is worthy of honor because of his great love for us. See, when we look at Malachi, we see that God, from the very beginning of his message to his people, he unashamedly declares his love for them. But the people were suspicious of God. They were weary of God. They were weary of his love for them. And so their response was this: well, how have you loved us? This is one of the seven questions that the people ask God in the book of Malachi. Now understand this, that the people's prosperity had been taken away from them. They were back in Jerusalem, yes, but they were facing many, many, many struggles. They had challenges rebuilding that city of Jerusalem, and they thought that God had forgotten them. And we're so often the same way. And when times get tough, we question God's love. Well, God, if you really love me, why is this happening to me? You understand this, that there was something much deeper going on in their hearts. You see, at the root of their question was a spiritual disease called apathy. They were simply apathetic towards God. They had lost their passion for God. They had lost their passion for the things of God. See, understand this, that whenever our passion for the things of God begin to wane, inevitably, we will begin to question God's love for us. And when our passions for God cools, all of a sudden the things of this world, all of a sudden that allure starts coming in. And it's very subtle at first. Starts becoming much more appealing to us. All of a sudden, our passion for God starts to wane, and we don't get those same feelings in our lives. So next thing you know, we have to go out and we have to find those feelings other places. You see, it's at that moment when our worship begins to wane, it's at that moment that Satan comes in and he starts sowing these seeds of doubt in our lives. He starts bringing accusations against God's goodness, against God's fairness, against God's love in your life. But listen, let me understand this, that God's love is nothing you ever need to worry about. God loves you. See, because God's love is always evident in what he's already done in your life. There was a Sunday school teacher who asked the class if they could explain to her what loving kindness meant. What is the difference between kindness and loving kindness? And one little girl spoke up. She says, "Oh, I know the difference." She said, "Kindness is when I ask my mother for a snack and she brings me some toast." But she said, "Loving kindness is when I ask my mother for a snack and she brings me some toast with some butter and jam on it." And that's the way God is. See, God in his loving kindness, he is an exceedingly generous lover. He is an exceedingly generous giver. He doesn't just give you some blessings, but he gives you some blessings with some butter and jam on it. Isn't that amazing? But listen, even if God never did another thing in your life, he has already sent his own son, who voluntarily put aside his own dignity. He voluntarily put aside his own superiority and came as a man in human flesh, cast off his own divinity. He sacrificed himself by being condemned to die, by hanging upon a wooden cross, bearing all of the sins of the world upon his shoulders, dying and then being resurrected 3 days later, thus conquering death, hell, and the grave. And he did all this. Why? So you might be a chosen people. The Bible calls you a chosen generation. You know, here's the most amazing thing, that you did nothing to merit this choosing. There was nothing you could do on your own to merit this choosing. No, God has chosen us by pouring out his blessings and his favor upon us. See, this is what Malachi says. This is what God says, is that God chose Jacob over Esau. Now listen, that word hate is used there, but I want you to understand this, that word hate there is not how we think of the word hate in our 20th century culture. See, the word hate, the Hebrew definition of hate is different. See, understand this, that God did not hate Esau like the way we think he hated Esau. Matter of fact, when you look and you study scriptures, it's quite clear as day that God blessed Esau far more than he blessed Jacob in his own lifetime. So what's the point of this? It's that God did not hate Esau the way we think he hated him. And that's important because some people go around and they teach, well, see, God loves some people, but he hates other people. But listen, understand this, that is simply not true. Right? God in his divine wisdom did not create some people just to condemn him. That is not what the Bible teaches at all. Right? The Bible teaches that God loves everyone. Matter of fact, he loves us so much that he sent his only begotten son to die for all of humanity. And God's desire is that none should perish, but that all would come to repentance. So you need to understand, you need to know that God loves you. Whether you love him back or not, he loves you. That word hate here is simply strong language to describe the fact that God chose Jacob over Esau to be in line of the Abrahamic covenant. And that is, God promised Abraham, Jacob's grandfather, that he would be the spiritual father of many nations, even Gentile nations. And that through this promise would come a man who would be the Christ. He would be the Savior of the world. And that promise passed through Jacob. So we who are Gentiles here today can look back and say, yeah, that promise is for us also. See, in other words, God chose us. He has chosen you. He has chosen me. He has chosen us. He has poured out his love and his mercy upon us. His favor rests upon us. Through his death and resurrection, we who were once aliens, we who were once far from God, we were brought back to him by faith. See, you're not here today just because you happened to wake up this morning by chance and come here. No, you are here because God has chosen you and He has a divine purpose for your life. Now, we might be tempted to think that we had something to do with God's choosing, but understand this, that we did not. Listen, understand this about Jacob. He was a liar. He was a deceiver. He was a coward. And yet, God chose this man to run His promise through. See, God chose Jacob over Esau, not because of his character, because Jacob was a bad, bad man. Bad, not in a good way. But He chose Jacob over Esau to show humanity that it's not about our righteousness, it's not about our goodness, but rather it is about His love and it's about His mercy in our lives. See, understand this, that God saw all of the junk in your life, and yet He still chose you. God has seen every time you have messed up, and let me tell you, it's been a bunch. I don't know you very well, but I know it's been a bunch, because in my life, it's been a bunch. And yet He has still chosen you. He sees you when you've blown it, and yet He still chooses you. So how has God loved us? He has chosen us. He has forgiven us. He has saved us. He has favored us and He has blessed us. He has empowered our lives. Man, don't you understand? We serve an amazing God. Right? What an amazing thing God has shown us. He is worthy of honor. Secondly, He is worthy of honor because He is the great King. Verse 6, God challenges the people. Why? Because they were not honoring Him. And so He asked the people, where is the honor due me? Where is my honor? Verse 14, He goes on to tell people that He is the great King, and that His name is to be feared among the nations. You see, because He is such a great King, He deserves our very best worship. Because He is the great King, He deserves our very best service. Because He is our great King, He deserves our very best energy. He deserves our very best effort. He deserves our very best finances. He deserves the very best of every part of our lives. Now understand this, that at this time, the temple had been reestablished and the sacrificial offerings were taking place. They had been reinstituted. They were taking place, but there was a problem. And then the problem was this, is that the priests were offering sacrifices that were defective. You see, the Jewish law commanded that a specific protocol regarding sacrificial animals. That the lambs and the bulls and the sheep and all the animals that came forth, they were not to be defective in any way. Defective animals were not to be used for sacrifice. Only perfect, unblemished animals should be used. In other words, only the best could ever be sacrificed to God. And yet these priests were sacrificing less than the very best that God had for their lives. Less than what God had demanded. So what does God do? God rebukes the priests. Now we might be think that God is just talking to the leaders here. But we must remember this, that in the New Testament, every person in this room today is called a royal priest. We are all part of the royal priesthood. And we are all called to give spiritual sacrifices to God. And so we are all priests. So God is talking to all of us here today. Now notice what God says, right? He tells them that you would never give the governor this sorry sacrifice. And yet they would offer it to God. But isn't that what we do sometimes? Now we have no problem giving our best at our jobs or giving best to our bosses or giving our best to our friends or giving our best to our families or giving our best all around. But when it comes to God, we come in and we give Him our leftovers. And we think, oh, this is just all I got today. Well, I know the words on the screen say we should lift our hands, but really, then I'd have to move. There's a poor boy at my son's soccer game, and he runs like this. He won't lift his arms, and I keep saying, if you lift your arms, you'll run faster, but he just runs like this. Lift your arms. Lift your hands. Clap to the Lord. Sing praises to the Lord. Dance before Him. Fall prostrate before Him. And God deserves your very best. Right? Is He not worthy of your very best effort? Yet we who have been shown this extravagant love by God, we worship Him, our service to Him is half-hearted. We just give a half-hearted effort. We show up late, we leave early, we say, well, I fulfill my duty. I fulfill my commitment. See, this is what the Bible teaches, that God is a jealous God. He doesn't like anybody taking His place. He is very jealous of His honor. When you honor other things and not God, you better believe He gets angry. See, the Lord goes on to say this, that He is not pleased with the people. He tells them that you might as well just shut the doors. Stop lighting those useless fire because they're not making a difference. I'm not looking at them anyways. They're not making a difference anyways. That I'm not accepting those offerings anymore. In other words, God is saying, listen, we can't do any better. We might as well shut the doors. If we can't do any better than we're currently doing, then what are we even doing here? You can't serve me any better than that. If you can't give Him your very, very best, understand this, that God doesn't want it. Now, sometimes your very best is not much, but that's okay. It's still your very best. But when you have much more to give and yet you choose not to, God is not accepting of that sacrifice at all. See, the King deserves more than just our leftovers. The King deserves our very best. He deserves the best of our finances. He deserves the best of our gifts. He deserves the best of our efforts. He deserves the best of our affections, the best of our energy, the best of our time. 1 Chronicles 21. David sinned against the Lord by taking a census to find out how many able men there were to fight in the army for Israel. And God was so displeased that He sent a plague upon Israel and 70,000 people died. And David's eyes were open. He saw the angel of the Lord standing above Jerusalem with a sword, getting ready to destroy Jerusalem. But God commanded the angel to stop and not destroy the city. And David and his men, they fell prostrate on their face before the Lord. You know, that's what worship means, right? To fall prostrate before the Lord. David and his men, they fell prostrate before the Lord. And the angel of the Lord was standing at the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. God told David that he needed to go and get the land, the threshing floor for Ornan, and he needed to build an altar and make a sacrifice there. So David went to Ornan and said, listen, I want to buy your threshing floor. I want to pay full price for your threshing floor so I can build an altar and make a sacrifice. Now Ornan said, no, David, I will give it to you for free. Not only that, David, but I will give you the oxen and the sheep to make the sacrifice. But David replied this, that he would not give the Lord what belonged to someone else. In other words, he would not offer sacrifices that cost him nothing. See, our service for Christ will always cost us something. It will always cost us our very, very best. And you may be saying to yourself, well, what about grace? Isn't this whole thing about grace? Well, absolutely, it is all about grace. You are absolutely right. But understand this, that grace always comes with responsibility. The story of a lady who was tucking in her 4-year-old son for bed, and she asked him, do you want to accept Jesus into your heart? He said, no, I don't want that responsibility. See, salvation is always a free gift, but it always comes with responsibilities. And our responsibility is to serve the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. See, serving Jesus will cost us something. Right, Matthew 7, Jesus says, this is how we'll be able to tell if a person is a real follower of Him. We will be able to know by their fruits that they produce. And He says, you can identify them by their fruits. That is, by the way they act. He says, can you pick grapes from a thorn bush or figs from a thistle? He says, a good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. said a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. See, the question is this: what kind of fruit are you producing in your worship? See, are you giving God your very, very best? Or are you just giving Him your leftovers? Are you serving Him with everything in your heart? Are you just serving Him half-heartedly? Am I just fulfilling my duty? Well, I'm a Christian. I guess I got to come to church on Sunday. I really don't want to get up, but it's okay. I'll just make sure I'm up enough time. Well, it doesn't matter if I miss the first 20 minutes, as long as I get here. Woo! Oh, it's 11:28. We're going to run late today. I'm going to have to get out of here because I got to get my food cooking. See, I believe this, that God is calling some of us to repentance today. Why? Because He is the great King and He deserves our very, very best. David says this in Psalm 86, that I will praise You with all my heart, Lord my God, and I will honor Your name forever. Listen, there are consequences to dishonoring our great King. Verse 11 says this, that my name will be great among nations. From where the sun rises to where it sets, in every place incense and pure offerings will be brought to Me, because my name will be great among the nations. In other words, God was telling the people that if you don't honor Me, it doesn't matter, because I'm going to find somebody somewhere who will. See, His name will be praised. His name will be great, and He will be honored. Let me finish with this thought. The Lord declares in 1 Samuel 2, those who honor Me, I will honor, but those who despise Me, I will disdain. There's something special. There's a special God-imparted blessing that attends our lives when we honor God. That God does something in our lives when we honor Him. That God honors us through His favor, and He honors us through His presence, and He honors us through His special blessings. But, He says, if we dishonor Him, He will disdain us. See, the people of Malachi's day, they didn't heed this message of the Lord. And for 400 years, there was silence. For 400 years, they didn't hear from God. 10 generations went by without one prophetic voice. Here's the point. If you want God to come to your aid, if you want God to rescue you, if you want Him to operate in your life, you better learn how to honor Him. Here's the principle. If you honor Him, He will honor you. But if you dishonor Him by giving Him less than your very best, right? That's how we dishonor Him, by giving Him less than our very best, then He will disdain you. Don't show up and think, well, I'm just going to do my part and that you're going to find blessing. No, God is sustained by that, right? What does He tell the church in Ephesus? That I will cast you off. I will remove your lampstand. Your, right, the church lady, your lukewarmness, I am casting off. God does not like it. Either be hot or cold, but don't be in between. God disdains that. Oh, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Lord's saying today. Come on, let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is what I believe. Listen, I'm a preacher. I'm not in the business of calling anyone out. But I know this, that there is someone in this room today. There's more than one person in the room who, if we were being really honest with ourselves, would say, you know what? I'm not giving God my very best. And I don't like to call people out, but I want you to know that God is looking at you. This is your opportunity right here. Matter of fact, hey, Christian, can we turn on like some worship music or something? Can you help me out there? I want to give you an opportunity. If that's you this morning, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. I believe there's several people in here who's, if they're honest with us, to say, you know, I'm not honoring God the way I should. This is your time to come to a place of true worship before Him. So I'm going to invite you to come forward this morning. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you this morning. There's nothing special in my prayer. It's really just acknowledgement that Lord, I hear Your voice this morning, and I realize that I need to change my way. So if that's you this morning, this is what I want you to do. I want you to stand to your feet right now, and I want you to come forward. We're going to have some other people praying for you. And I know it's difficult. I know it's scary to be the first one. But listen, this is about you and God. Do you want your life right with God, or do you want to suffer on the outside? Come on. Thank you. I see you. The Lord sees you. The Lord sees you. Come on, don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid. God wants to touch your heart. God wants to hear you today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Come on, anyone else? Is that what we're saying, that we're perfect church? That God's okay with where we're at? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Listen, church, we're going to have a soft dismissal this morning. That means if you need to go, feel free to go. But we're going to pray for people this morning. If you want to just come up here and just spend some time with the Lord, and you just want to pray, you just want to worship God for a moment, come and do that. This is your opportunity to come and spend a moment with God in prayer and worship to Him. If you need to go, feel free to go. We love you this morning. We'll see you back here tonight. We'll see you back here this week. Thank you.